And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, Rock God Rick Mexa, and the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right here in a very blustery San Diego Landings here in Port Lomas. It's just starting to rain down here in San Diego, but I know it's been coming down everywhere else. But Greg Stotesbury, expert angler and just super knowledgeable guy, is here. We're learning a lot today.
Oh, no doubt, man. Lots of fun and so much great information. If you want to be a part of it, man, we'd love to hear from you. What a great opportunity to talk to a guy that's seen it and done it and got a great opinion for it. It's going to be a great time here in the second hour. And if you want to join us, the best way to do it is just to give us a call. Let's talk. Hookup is 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. Or send us a text. You can text all your questions to the Let's Talk Hookup app. Make sure you include your contact info, because at the end of the show, we're giving away a killer prize. Somebody's going to walk away with a full APCO prize package that includes an APCO soft side tackle bag, two spools of the Psycho Pro Fluorocarbon, and the Circuit Breaker Ikajime system, plus a Bill Varney CCA 2023 calendar. A really cool prize pack.
Great
for somebody
prize
at the end of the show today.
Phones are 100% packed up right now, but keep trying at that 213 number, and JP will grab your line and put you up on the board as soon as possible. But, of course, you can always get through on the text, too, and lots of good texts. And, you know, one thing that Greg and I share is a passion for fly fishing for trout
yes.
in the northern climes here. And this is Randy in Idaho. Sent us, he's listening on the Let's Talk Hookup app, and he says, for Greg, what fluorocarbon tippet material do you use for your dry fly fishing, assuming you're using fluoro? By the way, it's snowing like mad here in Sun Valley.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's snowing, and I'm envious that you live in Sun Valley, Idaho. That's a beautiful place. So dry fly fishing, I do not use fluorocarbon. I use nylon. Because fluorocarbon sinks.
Ah.
So you don't want to use fluorocarbon when you're fishing dry flies.
Yeah, and I learned that from you last year when we were up in Montana. I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
you can grease it and you can get it to float, but it's not the way to go.
Right?
Yeah. You want to do.
So you use just regular monofilament?
Regular monofilament. Regular. Yeah. I just say nylon as opposed to fluorocarbon. Yeah. So I use nylon and I grease it anyway. I mean, I still put the
maximum loom, you can.
Yeah. You put the floating on it and keep putting the floating on the flies.
Okay. But that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Cut the fluorocarbon off for your dry fly outfit.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
all right.
Makes all the difference.
There you go, Randy.
Good,
all right.
Good, great text. Yeah. Hey, well, let's jump into the phones again. 213-432-1090 is your shot. Let's talk to John. He's calling us from Huntington Beach this morning. What's up, John? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just love the show, and I always get a lot when Greg's in the studio there. My question is swordfish. Greg, have you done any of the deep drop stuff, and if not, would you have you gone back to Florida and done the swordfish back there?
Yeah, well, first of all, good morning, John Galley. Good to hear from you, buddy. And John and I actually went to school together a zillion and a half years ago. But hey, John, great question. Yeah, we've done a ton of deep dropping for swordfish on the boat, and we've caught a number of them, and just, you know, do it kind of the typical way that everybody here does it. Mostly fish and squid, although our biggest fish was caught on a ribbon fish by Bill Shedd, a fish that was well over 400 pounds.
True.
And, but yeah, we've done a lot of it here. Most of our success has been up in the Channel Islands. We've caught them down here as well, but primarily in the Channel Islands. We only fished them one time this season, and I was telling Pete that we put a bait down just outside the rigs because we have a buddy that works on the outer rig up there off Huntington Beach, and he was seeing swordfish every day on the surface. So we went right to those numbers, put a squid down on the buoy rod. I put the tip rod out, and I think within an hour saw the buoy go slack, and this fish, a nice fish, 250-pounder, comes flying out of the water, flips end over end, lands on the buoy, separates the buoy from the rig,
no,
and comes unhooked. And, of course, the sinker sank back down again, and we're whining like crazy, trying to catch up, thinking we're hooked up, and all we're doing is pulling on the sinker. But that was our one and only bite this year, but we only fished them for 2 hours.
Wow.
We didn't spend a lot of time there.
That would be, if it was that easy, man, it would be really great.
If it were that easy, there'd be short fish would be in real trouble.
Yeah.
But I fished them a ton back east. Actually started doing it at nighttime back there with one of my good friends that lives in Lighthouse Point that was right in the center of all that. And we caught a ton of them back there at night. I think my dad caught 5 of them back there fishing at night, and I caught a number of them. And then the first daytime deep drop fish we caught was with my son. We got a 250 pounder on a rigged mullet.
Back in the East.
This is a long time ago. On the East Coast. And we had 6 bites that day and caught the one 248 pounder.
So are they fishing it the same way we are here?
Well, yes and no. Fishing it the same way as far as the way they rig their baits and their leaders and everything. You know, back there they use very long leaders. These 100-foot leader to their, you know, from their sinker to their bait. But they're fishing in sometimes, you know, 3 to 5 knots of current because they're in the Gulf Stream.
Oh.
So a lot different than here. We have current here, but nothing like they do there.
Yeah.
So they have to do a lot of running into the current and then dropping the bait and then backing up. And it's much more complex back there. But, yeah, John, we've caught a bunch of them back there, done a ton of it, and basically learned everything I know about it from my good buddy that I fished with back there.
All right.
Great question. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, how about a fun text this morning? It says, good morning, guys. Learning a lot today. Great show. I'd like to know what type of connection knot Greg likes to use from mono to fluorocarbon and also from braid to fluorocarbon.
Back-to-back uni knots.
Back-to-back uni on all of it?
On everything.
No kidding.
Yeah. I use the Collins knot a little bit, braid to fluorocarbon or braid to nylon, but day in and day out, I've had the best luck with back-to-back uni knots, although the Collins knot's a little trimmer or the RP knot or whatever you want to call it. And there's probably guys, the long-range guys are so good at all that rigging, they're going to have probably 10 other methods that you know, Rick, that I don't. But for me, back-to-back unis over the years, I've had great success with it.
And what pound test? Everything?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah,
Tie with 200, kind of tie with 100.
Well, with 200, I'm usually using a wind-on or something. I don't do a lot of knotting to 200-pound test, but I do it clear up to 130-pound test.
Okay.
When I get over that, I feel like I'm better off to use a wind-on connection or something like that. But
do the number of wraps change for you from heavy line to light line or braid to not braid?
I'm pretty much 5 to 7 wraps on everything. Mm-hmm. You know, 5 to 7 on each side. And I'm just, one of the things I'm real careful with is I cinch it up so it looks like if you took your two fists and put them fist to fist. I make sure that the knot rolls up real clean.
Right.
And I pull on the tags and the standing line progressively so the knot doesn't burn when it comes together. I like it to come together real smooth. And I usually wet it a little bit before I do that. So I'm pretty careful about it. But I've tied it so many, maybe thousands of times that I just have a ton of confidence in it. You know how knots are. I mean, I don't use a lot of different stuff because I use what's worked for me.
Yeah, sure. I always say that. Any knot that's tied right is going to hold great, and any knot, no matter how fancy it is, tied wrong is going to fail.
Yes.
And tie the one that you tie right, that you can tie in the dark, and you've tied 1,000 times, and I mean, like you said, a uni knot like that you didn't take that time, and the loops twisted over the top of each other, and you slid it down real fast, and you burn the line, that one's probably going to fail the same way that an RP knot or an FG knot or anything else. Like you don't do the steps right, like it's gonna let loose on you.
It's gonna let loose. Backing up to John's question about swordfish too, I might make a reference to our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show on YouTube. And Greg did a video on there of how to rig a bait for swordfish.
That's right.
A squid bait.
There.
So it's on there. It's really good. I go back and reference it every year when I'm going back to doing the swordfish thing. Because it's a real simple, easy way to go to a Asian market and buy a squid and rig your own rig rather than buying the super expensive pre-rigged ones.
That's right, Pete. Yeah. I forgot that we did that.
Yeah, and it's really easy and it works.
And I'm still using that exact same rig.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes me 5 minutes to rig a squid.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah. So it's easy to find. Just go to our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show. You can actually link it not only on our app but also on our website, little icons up on the top, and go right to our YouTube channel there.
Good call. Hey, let's jump back into the phones and talk to Tom. He's calling us from Temecula this morning. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Morning, Greg.
Morning.
Greg, two questions. One is, first of all, do you still fish Diamond Valley Lake? And my second question is maybe more of a comment and get your take on it. And that is, you know, I always thought that an El Nino year would be a year that, you know, we would have an abundance of Dorado and warm water fish. Naturally, this year was just incredible. Do you think it's more of a product of the bait that we have off the coast here than the water temperature? Because the water temperature wasn't all that hot, and we do have a lot of upwelling with the cooler water that we have. And so what's your take on both those questions?
Well, I think this year, Tom, thank you for that, but I think this year the situation with the Dorado was kind of an anomaly because there were so many of them that got trapped up here. And I say trapped because the California undercurrent, you know, which pushes up the coast on the inside as opposed to the California current on the outside that goes down the coast off Conception and down south, I think the undercurrent this year, there was a warm bubble of water that pushed in. I think at one time this year off of Palos Verdes, which is close to where we keep our boat up in Redondo, we had water up to 78 degrees.
Wow.
And we had water in the mid, you know, the 72 to 75 range for weeks up there. And that big bubble, I think the Dorado got trapped in that bubble, or they moved into that bubble. And then there was so much anchovy from all the upwelling on the beach. I remember driving through gigantic schools of Dorado, nice ones, 10 to 20 pounders. And in amongst that were huge brown meatballs of chovy that they were feeding on. So I think that it was kind of an anomalous situation where the fish got up in here. There was a burst of warm water from the California undercurrent, had a lot of marlin in it and had a lot of Dorado in it. And then once they get here, you know, those things grow insanely fast. And they started mowing down on all that anchovy, and they started growing, and then they were kind of trapped. And they stayed for a long time. Even after the water got down right at 70 or in the high 60s, there were still acres of Dorado up there off PV, like halfway between the West End and Palos Verdes.
Wow.
So it stayed there. And so I think it was kind of an anomaly. I don't know scientifically how – I'm just giving you my anecdotal take on it.
We may never see it again. We may see it again. We don't know.
It was awesome, though. I know that some of the schools we looked down on were crazy. We're marlin fishing, so they're kind of a nuisance to us. We don't want them. But I looked at a lot of Dorado this year. And then your question on Diamond Valley, I've stopped fishing Diamond Valley for a couple of different reasons. It was my favorite lake. I loved it. Used to fish there all the time. But they screwed around with the water level, and they put all the stripers in there, and they've just kind of screwed that lake up. And the fish in there is extremely tough. Fish are still healthy if you can catch one. But I think that all the up and down water levels that MWD did and all the moving everything around and putting a bunch of striper in there, it fouled up that whole ecosystem in there.
And if you want to catch striper, great, but if not...
And it's $34 or $32 to go there for the day. I mean,
wow.
That's not the end of the world, but that's a lot of dough for a one day. And the whole quagga mussel tagging, inspection, nausea, it just wears me out.
It's a shame because when that lake... first was built, I guess you'd say, when they built it, it was on such a rad trajectory. It was a big fish factory, and it was,
yes.
I mean, it was skyrocketing, and then it just, man, that striper was the beginning of the end of that. It ate up all the bait, and it pushed the big fish into different areas where they weren't able to stage and eat big baits and everything anymore. It's just, that lake was on such a, I mean, it was going to be an absolute world-class big fish fishery.
Yeah, it was a shame, and I fished it a ton, and you know, we talked a lot about that way back in the day in the early 2000s, right after it opened. My son and I fished there many, many dozens of times. Had great fishing, but it just kind of fell apart. There was a big, huge tournament there, one of the tournaments that one of the local dealers puts on. I think they had 80 boats in the tournament. They only caught, like, there was only like two limits caught for the 80 boats that were in it. Guy in 19th place had one fish that weighed 3 pounds.
Wow.
A friend of ours. Yeah. So it's, the fish in there is just dismal. The quality's good, but I don't go there.
Yeah. All right.
Other than that, he loves it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let's jump back into the phones. Jim from National City's on the line this morning. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Another great show. Greg, I get the correlation between the bait and the bluefin, but I heard that your scientist lady, Barbara, said that the bluefin are residents here because of the bait situation. Is there any way of looking into next year and to see what our bait situation in our area, San Clemente and close down south, well, what the correlation be, if we're going to have a good amount of bait still in our area next year?
Great question, Jim. Thanks for that. She addressed that directly, and she said the amount of upwelling is unprecedented right now. And with upwelling, you get, I think it's phytoplankton is the bottom layer food, and with that, you get anchovy. And she said that we're going to go into a, we're already in their opinion, a full-blown anchovy cycle right now, even though I think we're still seeing more sardine in the fin bait. But she said that so goes the amount of bait that's here, the amount of upwelling that's here, so goes the bluefin population.
Okay.
So she said, as I recall, her quote was, expect probably another 5 years of bluefin here, at least.
I like it.
And a lot of that's due to the amount of upwelling, which is which in turn causes the explosion in the bait population. So she did address that specifically. It's all about upwelling, and there's tons of upwelling in the eastern Pacific right now.
All right. Good
That's
news.
Great. Yeah, good
yeah.
question.
Hey, I was just watching the Shogun backing into the Fisherman's Landing here. It reminded me that I can't believe it, but we actually have three spots available on our Shogun's six-day Let's Talk hookup trip in October.
Oh.
It hasn't happened in a lot of years if there's any spots available. But if you want to go on that six-day Shogun trip, it's late October, which is absolute prime time. And depending on whether we'll be fishing out Guadalupe or down south or out west or whatever, there's always some good opportunity there. So if you want to go on the Shogun, on the Let's Talk hookup trip, grab one of those spots while they're available because they're not going to last for long. Call Jen at the Royal Polaris Shogun office, 619-223-8030, and get in on that. I also want to remind you that December 24th is the day for our Christmas Spectacular with Captain Mark Wish from Pacific Edge. Of course, everybody remembers, and for the, our new listeners, the Christmas Spectacular is when we give away a lot. And it's for the best contribution to the show. I mean contributions such as songs, poems, great fishing tips, ideas to catch more fish and stuff like that. All of that is a, so start putting your thinking cap on or your creative ideas and join us on Saturday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, 7 to 9 a.m. for Let's Talk Hookup Christmas Spectacular with Captain Mark Wish.
There you go.
That'll be a good one for sure. Then, again, next weekend, we got a couple of great shows, too. Captain Jim Hughes from the Cortez next Saturday.
Right.
You talk about bluefin and yellowtail and stuff. Captain Jim Hughes. And on the front page of the San Diego Union Tribune this morning, picture of the Cortez in the Parade of Lights yesterday
right.
in
cool.
Mission Bay. So that was kind of cool to see. And then next Sunday, Rosie and Jeff from Sejo Sport Fishing. So that's going to be a great weekend of shows next weekend.
No
sure.
doubt.
Yeah. Hey, great. Got a great text here going on from Brian in San Diego. He says, I've read some of the articles I've heard and fishermen talking using balloon rigs with live bait for yellowtail fishing. Wanted to hear your opinion on how to use them and the benefit of using them.
Well, I can't speak to fishing a balloon rig for yellowtail specifically,
yeah.
but I can tell you this. Interchangeably with the kite, we use a helium balloon because when we don't have any wind, we got to use a helium
yeah.
balloon. And but we have used the
kite and balloon or both.
Well, we use both. I mean, we'll put a balloon on the kite when we don't have a lot of wind just to help, you know, get it up in the air. But on a lot of days when we don't have any wind, we'll use the balloon to pull the leader out of the water when we're dragging around a live flyer or a live mackerel.
Uh-huh.
And there's no reason that wouldn't work for yellowtail. I will tell you what does work for yellowtail. Is a kite with a live mackerel underneath it.
Oh, really?
And we've done a ton of that. It's deadly. It is so deadly. I mean, we've anchored at the Isthmus High Spot at Catalina in the afternoon in a pretty good west wind and put a kite up with two baits under the kite line.
Like a double trouble.
We always, two separate baits.
Oh, two separate baits.
Yeah, with back-hooked mackerel on just your regular yellowtail tackle. The things come flying out of the water.
Really?
Yeah.
A kite that's flying right and a bait that's being fished right, there is just not much with a tail that can resist eating that. It looks so good.
Yeah.
And you know when you see, like, that thing's going to get smoked. There's just no doubt about it. When they're just right on the surface and tail's kicking in white water, and like you just know, like, oh, something's eating that. Guaranteed.
We were sitting at Johnson's Rock, just real quick story. We were sitting at Johnson's Rock this year after a bluefin trip that we'd had a lot of success. We caught a bunch of fish. Or several fish, which is enough for us. So we were sitting at Johnson's in 10 fathoms with the kite up in a ripping west wind and two mackerel trying to catch yellowtail. And on the outside, we start seeing splashes. I'm like, oh, there's a bunch of porpoise going by. No. 200 feet of water, giant school of 150-pound bluefin went by.
Whoa!
We pulled the anchor, left the kite out. Michael started backing up. That's my brother who runs the boat. And we backed into 200 feet of water and doubled on 150 feet.
With the kite still up.
Brought it in with two live mackerel.
That's rad.
So, yeah, yellowtail, kites, balloons, no question.
You always seem to be in the right spot.
This was a lucky one, Pete. This was a lightning strike.
That's good. Hey, if you want to get through, it's been a busy morning. Now's your chance. 213-432-1090. Open right now.
I actually have a question for Greg.
Okay.
I know, Greg, you like to fish in a lot. You guys participate in a lot of the Tuna Club events, and so much of the Tuna Club is buttons and special fish. What's on your list? Like, what's on your list of a button or an angling achievement Tuna Club-wise that you haven't cracked yet that you'd really like to?
So thank you for asking. I'm really into the antique tackle thing right now, and so I've got early 1950s Penn 6-0 that's been all rebuilt on a bamboo half round rod that I actually found at AFCO years ago.
Cool.
That belonged to J.C. Axelson, who was the founder of AFCO back in the 50s. So I've got that outfit set up with 9-thread linen, which is about 27-pound test on its best day. So I've been trying to catch a bluefin of 150 pounds, which would break a 1920s record set in the Tuna Club by a guy named Jimmy Jump, who is the most famous light tackle angler in the Tuna Club. And so I've had two fish on the line, one of them with my wife driving the boat 2 years ago. And we fought that one to leader, and I broke the bamboo rod.
Oh!
And then this year I fought one on 9-thread again with my brother driving, and we were on it 2.5 hours, and it started to get dark, and it was a 150-pound fish, would have broke the record. And on 9-thread, and would have been my button fish on light tackle, and I broke line.
Oh, wow. And that, like you say, that it's 27-pound at its strongest point.
At its best day.
Undoubtedly has considerably weaker spots throughout that line. Like, you're trying to pull on a 150-pounder on line that there's no way tests over 20-pound in some of its spots.
No, it degrades through the fight, and basically the line wore out before I did or before the fish did. And
when was this line made?
So this particular line is new made.
Oh, new
linen.
Oh, okay.
So we've got JD from JD's Tackle up in Balboa was able to source in Eastern Europe from a manufacturer that makes linen for sewing shoes.
Huh.
We were able to source new linen.
Wow.
So
that's a game changer.
So we've now got 9-thread and 24-thread linen. 24-thread being roughly 70-pound test. That's our heavy tackle in the Tuna Club.
And they're making it for making shoes, but are they custom making it for fishing line?
We got it custom made for fishing line.
Really?
So it's 50 lay, which is what it's considered, 50 lay linen, which is natural flax fiber, twisted, 3-strand twisted, and we've got it in both 9-thread, and basically it's 3 pounds to the thread. So 24-thread, roughly 75-pound test, in a 9-thread, roughly 27-pound test, but it never tests as good as what it should.
As it should.
So we've got modern
era. That's cool.
But better than using antique linen, that's like was what you guys were using for years.
Two years ago, I caught my 100-pound plus fish. I got a 130-pounder on 80-year-old 24-thread linen in a Penn 9-0 in a bamboo rod.
Yeah.
Which is my pinnacle fish in the Tuna Club.
Yeah. So the rod that unfortunately broke, is that repairable? Like, does it break down below? Can you reaffix it to a butt section, or is that it? Is that piece of antique tackle now hangs on the wall?
Vivian, what happened to that rod? So the tip section slid down the line.
Got it.
And then I thought, with her driving, I thought, well, I'll just hand line this thing up. And I hand lined it for about 10 minutes. And then finally just got pissed and broke the line. So I lost the rod tip. And I'm standing there with the foregrip and the rear grip and the reel in a broken piece of linen. But that's antique tackle.
Yeah, that's
tackle
cool, man.
Fishing.
That's way cool.
Yeah. Here's an interesting question from Gavin in Capitol Beach. And we had this discussion last night. We had dinner with Greg and Vivian last night, and we were talking about mercury content in fish. And he says, good morning. Great. What is the mercury on these bluefin, and how much is safe to eat? And you had some interesting information about mercury levels in our bluefin here from Dr. Barbara Block.
Yeah, Barbara addressed that specifically, and what she said was the bluefin in the Western Pacific, in other words, on the Taiwan-Japan side, are loaded with high levels of mercury. They're loaded with mercury because of all the runoff from the rivers there that naturally have mercury and all the volcanic activity. She said the bluefin here, which, again, keep in mind, those bluefin are spawned off Taiwan or Japan, and then they come 8,000 miles over here, and they're about 15 pounds when they get here. She said those little tiny bluefin here, bluefin up to like 40 pounds, the mercury content can be fairly high in them. But for the most part, the bluefin that have been living here for any length of time have very low levels of mercury because we don't have a lot of naturally occurring mercury.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work its way up the food chain.
Yeah.
And I think her quote was, if you ate 2 40-pound bluefin a month for some period of time, your mercury levels would go off the chart.
Yeah. And you've had experience with knowing somebody that had mercury poisoning from eating fish, and it's not a pretty thing.
No, a very good friend of mine who was a big customer and a great friend back east was eating swordfish and tuna, actually trying to lose weight, so he was staying on a fish diet, and he was eating swordfish and bluefin sushi almost every day. Now, this is fish caught in the Atlantic.
Yeah, and swordfish and shark are at the top of the pyramid
loaded.
When it comes to loaded with
fish. And he had mercury levels 10 times the maximum, and it was like, you know, it was like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. I mean, he was crazy. He was mad because of mercury that they used to make hats. Well, my buddy was going crazy and having all kinds of brain issues from mercury he was eating in fish.
Wow.
And it was all swordfish and tuna. Luckily, he was able to get off it and have some kind of a blood process, chelation or something
chelation
like that.
Chelation therapy.
They got the mercury out of his system, but he was in a bad way.
So it's a real deal.
The real deal.
Yeah. For sure.
That's wild. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your ways. We've had a crazy busy morning with the phones. Your best opportunity to get through is right now. Give us a call at 213-432-1090. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Low, low, low gas prices, great service, and free ice is what Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena is all about. For your car, truck, and especially your trailer boat, you need Summit Gasoline. The savings are substantial when you fill up at the Summit, but they don't compromise on service. No way. The great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean it is, the great sound system, and of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Now, hear this. Get 100 pounds of ice free with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, soda, and fishing licenses for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most, Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hi, I'm Bart Hall, and I'm here to announce the return of the Hall Family Shows to Southern California. 2023 will see the first Hall Family Show in San Diego in 4 years, the first Hall Family Show in California in 3 years, and the first outdoor recreation show in Southern California in 2023. It will be the Bart Hall Show, February 16th to 19th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds, and it's going to be spectacular. Then we move to the Bart Hall Show, March 29th to April 2nd at the Long Beach Convention Center. Since 1946, millions of happy family memories have been made at this show, and more will be made this year. We thank Turner's Outdoorsmen for sponsoring our 75th anniversary celebration. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Bart Hall Shows, presented by Progressive. And remember,
it's a whale of a show.
There are plenty of boat slips and marinas in San Diego, but there's only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Check ResortKonaKai.com for more information. The Kona Kai Resort. Much more than just a place to park your boat. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Having a great time here this morning. If you want to get through, join us on Let's Talk Hookup, 213-432-1090 on the phones, or shoot us a text through that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Giving away a great AFCO package that includes an AFCO tackle bag, which, love that tackle bag. It's really, I mean, the new AFCO, the whole line of bags and tackle bags, backpacks, even the rolling duffel. That new line is really fantastic.
They're super well designed. Yeah. They did a great job on those. I love
really
them.
Great.
We got to do a little preview of the new stuff coming out, and man, there are some things in the soft good world that have been missing that just everything. I don't need to say anything. I mean, it's because of guys like Greg, and it's because everybody there fishes, and everything is so purposefully thought out. You know, like a backpack that wasn't designed for it still perfectly fits a 3600. Like,
right,
even if it was, you know, like nothing is done by accident. They're all just right for what we do. There's some really cool stuff coming.
Exactly. Yeah. In addition to the bag, you're going to get two spools of the Greg Stotesbury introduced cycle fluorocarbon and the circuit breaker Ikijimi wire and a Bill Varney 2023 calendar. By the way, if you want a Bill Varney calendar, here's your chance. They're available at tackle stores all over the place right now. The 2023 series is really fantastic. Or you can get it online at surffishtackle.com or any of your Turner's Outdoorsman locations. It's a really great calendar, and it's up on the wall right here in the world headquarters. I can guarantee you that. And the new one will be up here as soon as this month is over.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to get, so the point is 213-432-1090, open right now. You have a great text.
Yeah, I thought so. It says, good morning, gentlemen. Greg, I'm wild about these big bluefins. When targeting the largest grade of bluefin tuna, what method works best for you? There's so many options in play now. That's from Mike in Hermosa Beach.
A live flying fish under a kite. A live bridled flying fish under a kite. So we do a lot of that. And that big trip that we had on the Castigo where we caught all those fish for Barbara that she tagged, most of those were on live flyers. Few on live mackerel.
So you're not sinking that hook into the meat. You're actually bridling it right on the front.
Yeah.
And you're using circle hooks.
Circle hooks.
Yeah. How big is a circle hook?
I use like an 11-0.
Wow.
I use a pretty good size hook.
Okay.
If you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, we bridle the flying fish through the nose and put them underneath the kite live and basically fish them, like run them out, run them in, run them out, run them in, slow troll them, bump troll them.
Yeah.
So in the midst of doing that, we've also got other baits out too. Typically, we'll slow troll. Another live flyer on the other side of the boat we'll put out. Sometimes we'll put a balloon out, too. But a live flyer, for me, under a kite, that's money.
And it's also the most fun.
It is the most
fun. Oh, no doubt.
The bites are insane.
Yeah. What pound lead are you using?
I like 200 pound.
200 pound.
That's pretty much exclusively what we use.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we'll go down a little bit to 130 or 150. I don't really think there's any need to. We probably fish lighter leader than a lot of people. A lot of times we're fishing lighter tackle. So we're not pulling as hard, so we don't have to use as heavy a leader.
Yeah, for sure.
I shouldn't say all, but a high percentage of the very successful, you know, 4-pack, 6-pack charter operations to fish that bluefin, at least that were having us build leaders for them in the shop or them buying materials, really liked that Psycho 300 pound. Those guys, too, one, like you said, the size probably doesn't make a lot of difference on the bite, but they're getting crazy longevity out of them, you know, guys that are fishing every day, and there's a new group the day after day after day after day. Like, everybody said the same thing, that the longevity that they got out of that 300 pound was a pretty big game changer.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Good stuff. Hey, while I was talking about the San Diego Union Tribune, if you check out the sports section today of the San Diego Union Tribune, a very nice ad for Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks to Bill and the gang over at the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio for putting that in. Big front page ad in the sports section, which was a big sports day yesterday,
nice.
For sure. Hey, John from Mira Mesa sent in a great question and interesting here. Has anyone tried fishing Pleasant Valley Reservoir? I was last there in 2018, and the water was off color and terribly smelled. I want to know if it's rebounded.
Yes, that's funny. We walked up to Pleasant Valley because we're in our duck scouting. I wanted to scout the canyon up there a little bit to see if any mallards were hiding in the upper O. And so we walked up to the reservoir and actually walked down to the water and looked in the water. Water was clear. It was low. It was probably down 6 vertical feet.
This is last week.
This is last week. I was just there. That was Monday.
Okay.
Water looked great. I didn't see any activity, any fish activity. There was no one fishing. Of course, the wind was howling.
Yeah.
And it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
But everything looked good. I was kind of wishing I'd have brought a rod and could have sampled it a little bit.
Right.
But we didn't. And then the river down below, the water wasn't coming out of the main three pipes. It was coming out of the side pipe. So there wasn't as much water going through the O. But we were still going to bring our fly rods up there and try, you know, using an indicator rig with a bead head and float around. But we never did it. It was too windy and too cold.
Friend of mine, Jimmy Hu, who works for Mammoth Lakes, or Mammoth Mountain, actually, not Mammoth Lakes, but Mammoth Mountain works for the – and he spends a lot of time, obviously, in Mammoth. He fished Pleasant Valley Reservoir at the end of October, early November was the time period. Absolutely crushed the brown trout on his float tube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, on indicator fishing.
Indicator
rig.
Balanced leech.
So, yes, Pleasant Valley Reservoir has a lot of fish in it. And for those of you who don't know where Pleasant Valley Reservoir is, it's between Mammoth and Bishop, right above Bishop, right?
Yeah, right before you go up the Sherwin Grade, there's Pleasant Valley Dam Road or Power Plant Road.
Hard to get into in some places, right?
Well, it's, you know, if you go in from the top, it's a longer walk than it is from the bottom.
Yeah.
We went into the bottom where the campground is, and it was a fairly steep hill, but it was maybe a quarter mile walk to the lake.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
I have the giant brown trout in that river that connects below the power plant and in the Pleasant Valley.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
The delta up there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I still vision that big fish. He got me in a log and broke me off, but it was like, oh boy.
Was it bigger than the one I watched you fight at Land of the Giants in Montana?
No, nothing will ever eclipse that one.
God, that was
sure.
a beast.
Yeah,
that was a monster brown trout.
Yeah, up in Montana, Greg and I were up there last June.
Yeah.
And hooked an absolute monster. I mean, our friend that was with us, Chris, said it's the biggest brown he's ever seen in Montana, and he's seen a lot of big fish.
Yeah.
And it was like right next to the net and
shook a hook, broke you off. What happened?
He came
unhooked.
That's
he
right.
rolled he at the last
hooked.
Minute. Yeah.
Rolled, and because I had him on forever. I had him on for a long, long time because there was a lot of current and up and down and back and forth. And, that was one that we wish we could have gotten in hand, for sure.
That's the old. That's still like the best line that anybody ever had was that old Berkeley commercial that the big fish don't break your line, they break your heart.
This one was special.
That one just shook the hook.
That brown trout was the color of a cube of butter. It was bright yellow and orange, big, huge male.
And probably like 30 inches, something like that.
Oh, it was giant. It was a beast. Even from where I was, I could see it. Anyway.
It was a good one, for sure.
One that got away.
Yeah, the one got away, so we just have to go back, right?
There you go. Go get it.
We're going.
For sure.
Well, another great text came through for Greg. It says, good morning, Greg. Did Dr. Block ever mention anything about the approximate aging of the tuna? I'm so curious the age of, say, a 100-pound bluefin. That's from Jeff in Mission Viejo.
Yeah, so that fish that's that age is typically about 4 years old. And the fish live to be about 10 years old on the high side. The oldest fish she finds here are typically in the 7 to 9 year old range, which puts them right at about 300 pounds, 250 to 300 pounds.
All right.
It seemed interesting this year that there were plenty of big fish. I mean, lots and lots and lots of really big fish. What we didn't see, at least catch-wise from the sport boat, it seemed like there was lesser of the ultra-giant ones. Lots of 170 to 200-pound fish and even fish to mid-200 pounds, but we didn't see a lot, at least in the catches of our boats, of fish that were, you know, 280s and 290s and 300s and 350s. And, you know, we just put that 377 on the wall inside the tackle store. And, you know, we didn't see a lot of that this year, of the ultra-big ones. Is that your class just big enough that it swam back across, do you think?
I think a lot of that fish located farther north, and I don't think there was a lot of pressure on it. I'm not 100% sure, but I observed the same thing. We caught a lot of fish this year, but we didn't get anything. I think our big fish was 220-ish, you know, taped at 220.
Yeah.
And in previous years, we've had fish closer to 300, and we've had multiples. But, yeah, I didn't notice as much big fish this year. She didn't address that specifically. I don't think they've gone anywhere.
Yeah.
But maybe they have. Maybe some of those fish, when they get over 300, are starting to bomb across the Pacific to spawn. But she did say in her talk that she has not found a sexually mature large bluefin here yet.
Yet, really? Okay.
Yeah. None of
which would be over 400 pounds.
Well, I think you know, what she's sampled here has been fished like to 300 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And when those fish, like she said, the ones they had in Taiwan were 700 pounds.
And those are the sexual.
Those are the spawners.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I want to remind you, Fisherman's Processing, man. They are the best fish processor when your trip returns with the San Diego Landings plus Fish Pros the Market. They have a big sale going on right now.
That holiday special.
Platter. Unbelievable. You get, listen to this. You get a pound of smoked fish. I believe it's your choice. You can get, you know, whatever they have available there is smoked fish.
You get tuna, wahoo, yellowtail, all
yeah,
kinds of
yeah, all that kind of stuff. Three packs of tuna jerky, their famous tuna jerky. Three packs of their popular smoked cheese, whether it be the Gouda, the cheddar, everything. Their smoked cheese is unbelievable. And you just call for details and just go by and pick it up over at their convenient Old Town location. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more information. But that holiday platter, like Ricky said yesterday, is basically you just unpack those, put it on a platter, take it to the party, and you are the hit.
You're the hero, yeah.
Yeah.
Show up to a party, buy some crackers, put it on a piece of wood, and, like, everybody raves at what you did. Like,
yeah.
You did nothing but cut open a backpack bag and cut it into cubes, and, like, you're the hero.
Yeah, so go by there. Fisherman's Processing, great location there, right across from Old Town in San Diego.
Another fun one, like, if you're looking for a cheap, fun, easy gift, you know, and fishing guy, like, all those spices and rubs are killer. But that that poke kit is something that if you got to buy something for a person that likes fishing, that poke kit is just, it's another one. It's absolutely brainless.
Yeah.
You take your fish, you cut it into cubes, you throw it in a bowl, you measure a little bit of the wet. So they have a bottle that has all of the traditional wet ingredients already mixed up. And then they have a little packet of all the traditional dry ingredients already mixed up. A tablespoon of this, a teaspoon of that with your fish. You swirl it around in a bowl. And again, you kick out fantastic poke with zero effort. And it's a really cool, easy one to get somebody.
Oh, yeah. When we went back to Michigan for Thanksgiving, we took tuna and the poke kit.
Perfect.
And, oh, my.
Blow their minds.
Well, not only blow their minds, but you've never seen anything disappear as fast as that poke kit.
No doubt.
But yeah, so that's a great idea. Another gift, all the spices and rubs.
Yeah, it's cheap.
The poke kit, yeah, really, really, really good. Let's jump into the phone.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Doug? He's calling us from Montebello this morning. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
How much fish do you guys catch for a good study on fish populations?
Doug, it sounded like you asked how much fish do we catch for a study on fish populations. Is that the question?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Well, you know, Barbara has, I think she said she's tagged somewhere around 350 bluefin so far, and they've got a bunch of tracks on all those fish. And I think that's just in the Pacific, but I think her desire is to tag a lot more with the computer tags, the archival tags, and the pop-up tags, so she can learn more about their migration routes and their spawning habits. I think that's the primary thing that she's after. I think as far as population goes, I think that she's pretty convinced that the population is relatively healthy in the Eastern Pacific. But what she's trying to learn primarily is the migration routes, along with the life habits and all the other things they learn from tagging.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Sure. Hey, I think we created a monster with the AFCO absorbent fish pads here. There's another question about that. I have a question about the pads. Do they come in gallon size, 10 to a package? They have to fold. Are they quarts? Are they fish in quart sizes? I mean, we might have to look at Vivian and say what. But they come. I think there's like a several in each package.
Right. You buy a package and it's got
a
bunch.
And do you
of
just
them.
Use one of them?
I just use one.
Just use one.
And the one
it's like kind of like a thick paper towel.
Yeah.
The best way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's made for absorbing fish smell.
Yeah. It's like almost any piece of beef or chicken that you get from Costco or the grocery store. I mean, it's that same
it's
idea.
The same.
Like, people put it under every piece of meat that you're going to consume because it does make it better. And of course, leave it to AFCO to realize, why on earth wouldn't we be doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, they're inexpensive. They're below $10. I think you can get one from the AFCO website for $7.50. You can get them at all the tackle stores. We sell them. I'm sure most of the other good tackle stores all do as well.
Sure.
It's just another piece of your fish care. It's inexpensive.
Yeah.
It's easy to use, and it's going to be better product when you're all done.
And the size is perfect. I mean, you can slip it in a Ziploc bag. I don't know what those Ziploc bags we use are, 12 or 14 inches wide. You put it underneath your piece of filet, like a 1 pound chunk of filet. It fits perfect.
And I think, is it 10 per package?
I don't remember.
Something like that.
I don't remember because we had a bunch of bulk. She's going to look right now and see. But there's a bunch of them in a package.
Yeah. But get them, at AFCO.com or at your local tackle store. They have them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
You got it.
Very good.
Hey, let's jump back in to the phones. We got Hills from Ventura's on the line. Good morning, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Good morning, guys. What a great show. I was going to ask Greg about bait. Obviously, bait is, you know, key to what we do. And your guest yesterday was an avid surf fisherman, and he mentioned that he hasn't, and he grew up in La Jolla, there, Bird Rock. So the question was, how's the surf fishing? He said, terrible. There's no bait. And I'm witness to that here in Ventura. I'm an avid surf caster. And I, you know, years past, I used to catch way more fish than I have since we started this whole bluefin thing 7 years ago or something. And during these years, I haven't seen the clouds, schools on the sand and pelican bomb fest, you know, bait ball. I've seen a couple, but not like it used to be. And same time, I've caught hundreds of sea bass, halibut, and bluefin, I mean, stripers, but not these last few years. It's kind of disappointing, but I'm just waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on right on the beach, but I can tell you this, without question, the biomass of bait out there is as big as I've ever seen.
Ever.
I mean, I saw for week after week after week offshore, we saw anchovy in incredible numbers offshore. Now, reasons why that stuff didn't go on the beach, I don't know.
I'm the biggest believer in the world of just cycle, things that cycle in and things that cycle out, and incredible beat, you know, like, you know, we're blessed with this fantastic bluefin fishing. We don't have great sand bass fishing. We're blessed with, you know, all that open water school, and some of that fish is close, and some of that fish that we're used to on the beach. I think that that's just one of those cases. If that, you know, if that stuff that's migrating hundreds of miles, if it, you know, if it moves by a degree or two and it ends up just a mile offshore, then it's just not in your zone like it was. But if it's offshore, it creates the best, you know, bait ball fishing. You know, there's so many Nat Geo moments. There's no doubt that there's no loss of bait.
One thing that is amazing that I'm sure we'll all agree on is whether it be inshore or offshore, I have never seen the abundance of bait that we have now in the Southern California Bight.
No, and we were, you know, that stuff, fortunately for us, set up 10 miles from my harbor up there in Redondo. So the stuff was off PB, and it was kind of like that was the stopping point.
Yeah.
And it milled around in there on those two high spots off PB, we call the boot, and then the, I forget the number on the other one that's closer to the west end. But the amount of whales, anchovies, dorado, and in some cases marlin and tuna that was in there was insane. And it was week after week after week.
Wow.
Some of the whale things we saw was like, it was Nat Geo. I mean, it was crazy feeding humpback whales and
really, you had a
blue
bunch of
whales,
humpbacks up there,
everything
huh?
up there.
Wow.
Steve Crook sent me a text saying that the stock assessment of next year's anchovies is over 3.5 million tons.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot of chove.
Barbara said the same thing, that the anchovy biomass is going to be incredible.
Enormous. And think about 3.5 million tons.
Yeah.
That's 2,000 pounds, 3.5 million times.
That's good.
Out of a fish that weighs nothing. You know?
Bring it, because that's just bring more fish.
Yeah.
Well, he's a little late. Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide with our fishdope.com report. Good morning, Dave.
We've had a lot of snow up here, so the tower was knocked out. It finally came back on. I've been panicking.
But
I'm here.
Snow in Cabo?
Yeah, San Jose del Cabo got dumped on you.
Yeah, no, I'm up here in Lake Tahoe. We got like 5 feet last night.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. It's a little different than the brown I've been looking at for the last 4 years.
I guess.
It's a little different. But hey, let's talk about the fishing real quick. The bluefin, that amount of bluefin still out there on the Tanner, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I know we got a phenomenal amount of weather in the next couple of days, but I don't think it's going anywhere. Like Mark was talking yesterday, they're catching it in Bidet Bay in 54-degree water. I don't think the water will get that cold over this storm, but it might. But I don't think it's going anywhere because, like you guys were just talking about, the anchovy, the amount of food, the biomass of food that's here, there's no reason for that fish to leave and go anywhere. It loves it here. There's so much food. The problem that we have this time of year, and we always have this problem, is it gets dark too early, and we just don't have enough coverage. There could be fish at Clemente. There could be fish all over the place, but no one's going out there right now. So that Tanner's right where they go. They just go there, and they're biting there, so why go anywhere else? But you don't know where that fish is at, and I'm sure as soon as rockfish starts again on April 1st, we'll have coverage, and you'll find out that bluefin's everywhere. But right now, in between these weather windows, I would get out there and get as much rockfish as I can get in my refrigerator or freezer before they close it here on the 1st of January, and then it'll be closed till April 1st. So get out and go rockfish fishing. It's really good rock fishing right now, and there's still plenty of bonita at Catalina. There's still plenty of fishing ahead. So just, you got to get out there and go fishing.
And fishdope.com has all the information for you. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, $20 off. Fishdope.com using the code hookup now. And Dave, how do we find you other than mountains buried in snow?
You can check me out at Your Saltwater Guide. I'm all over social media on every channel imaginable. Plus, I got a great holiday special right now. Give me a call at 949-374-0786, and I'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right. Very good, Dave. Thanks a lot for
thanks
the call.
Thanks for squeezing me in, Pete.
Yeah,
bye.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, and stay safe up there up in the mountains. And good to know that they got a lot of snow
hey,
up
man,
the top.
Oh, my gosh, so much.
Good for us going forward.
It's going to be really good.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, Greg, one last question before we have to call it here. What's your favorite kind of fishing right now?
You know what I'm going to say?
Huh?
I got to say, you know, fishing two dry flies on a 5-weight and a float with a floating line on the Missouri River is pretty hard to beat.
Right.
Mostly because it's so difficult.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
And then the pyramid thing would be close behind it. But I love it. I love the whole fly fishing thing, Pete, as you know, because it's super difficult. I'm not real good at it yet. I'm trying to get there.
You're good.
But it's just very, very challenging. And it's new.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
So, yeah.
I like it, too.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky caller or texter's got themselves that killer AFCO prize pack. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Want to take your catch from fresh to superior grade? This is Robbie Gant from AFCO. We developed the tools for the EKGMA process. Circuit Breaker is specially designed to disable the full length of the fish's spinal cord. The memory-resistant wire of AFCO's Circuit Breaker will not bend or kink, even after repeated use. Take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Available at a dealer near you or check out AFCO.com.
Like Robbie said, take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Check AFCO.com or your favorite tackle retailer.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
All right, it's time to find out our big winner of that full AFCO prize pack. Vivian's going to do us the honors of flipping the coin, figuring out if we got a caller or texter.
All right, Viv,
go for it. All right, we have a texter today, so congratulations to Darren. You've got yourself a killer AFCO prize pack. Again, tackle bags, Psychopro fluorocarbon, the circuit breaker Ikijime wire. You're going to get the 2023 CCA calendar, an awesome prize pack.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Awesome. And thanks to AFCO for all their support of Let's Talk Hookup. And thank you, Greg and Vivian, for coming in. And always great to see you and hearing the tales of your hard-earned retirement.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah.
Thanks a million to you and Lolly, too, for dinner last night.
Oh, of course.
Awesome. And thanks, Rick.
Yeah, buddy.
Thanks to Kingfisher Charters for providing that black
coffee. Oh, God, that was like phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing for sure. But, yeah, so what's the next adventure?
So the next adventure is about the first – well, we're going to try to get out and do some rock cut fishing, which I'm going to hopefully you can join us. And then first of the year, I take off for Montana for a couple of weeks of goose hunting.
Wow.
If – you know, God willing, and the river doesn't rise.
Yeah, yeah. And it should be nice and warm up there, too.
Oh, it'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
It'll be,
yeah. Minus 40 or something like
highs
that.
In the teens.
Highs in the teens, yeah. Should be great. And then you'll be doing a lot of bass fishing. You see Greg on various bass lakes around.
Yeah, I'll be doing as much bass fishing as I can.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Cool. Looking forward to it. All right, Greg. Looking forward to more adventures talk with you, for sure, and more adventures together with you, too. Hey, thank you for listening to today. Next weekend, Captain Jim Hughes from the Cortez is going to be here on Let's Talk Hookup, Jim's annual visit to us. So that's always great. And then next Sunday, Rosie and Jeff from Stagro Sport Fishing are going to be talking that fantastic fishing. They'll cap the yellowtail and calico bass capital of the world down at Stagro's next Sunday. Thanks to JP for manning the busy phones today. And thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. And thanks to you for listening and all your support of Let's Talk Hookup. We'll see you next weekend right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk.